Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. And I'm Deanna Potter, your host for Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, Melissa Simonson. And Melissa, I want to welcome you today to our show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Deanna.
So, Melissa, you are the guru of hiring. You are a talent acquisition consultant, and I know your company is called Simonson Says. I absolutely love that. I'm a catchy branding, a lover of anything that just rolls off someone's tongue. First, I have to congratulate you on a great company name. I just absolutely love it.
Thank you.
And I got to tell you, I mean, 16 years in the HR and talent acquisition industry. I can't decide if you're like brilliant at what you do or just a glutton for punishment, because I'll tell you, seriously, I know a tremendous amount of business owners and people in corporate America, and I think that when they talk about hiring and firing, it's got to be one of the statistics that they have in the business world. And yet here you are as a professional, and that is what you dedicated yourself professionally to. So having been through such an evolution over nearly two decades now, tell us, you know, what are some of the most significant changes that you've seen in how recruitment is done over the last 16 years?
Sure. I'd be happy to. So I have to say that I feel so fortunate being in this field, and that, you know, I have a real passion for hiring, and specifically, you know, HR has a lot of different facets to it, but I've tended to focus my career specifically on the hiring side of things. And I feel as a manager, as an executive, it's going to be one of the most important things that you'll do. It's all about finding and attracting the right talent, and then, of course, keeping them and developing them. But as far as kind of some overall changes that I've seen over the last few years, I think certainly networking and the use of LinkedIn has just been enormous within the recruitment world. I mean, that really, we've gone from organizations where maybe historically posting a lot of positions on Monster, Dice, those types of things, to really more leveraging LinkedIn for networking and recruiting. So that's been probably one of the most significant changes that I've seen is the use of LinkedIn within recruiting. I think the other thing I've seen as well is just the use of technology, generally speaking. So you now have some pretty sophisticated applicant tracking systems that have the ability to screen candidates. There's different questions that you can build in that just really helps the overall process internally from an HR perspective. I think, of course, social media has been big for branding and marketing information out there to candidates. I think candidates have a lot more information that they can get now at their disposal than maybe what you saw 10 years ago. And then even things like using Skype for interviews is something now that I've seen, you know, become more and more popular over time. So those are just a few things off the top of my head that I can think of that that I've definitely seen some changes here.
Well, I have to tell you, you just said a word that just, I went, oh my gosh, I completely forgotten about that. It dusted off my brain. Monster. I had forgotten all about Monster. And I, you know, that wasn't really that long ago. And it's so interesting, you know, things like Skype, you bring up a great point there too. I'm a relational girl. My belief is if I can get myself in front of somebody, I can sell myself. But I know I talk to, you know, being an independent business owner, I'm not out there, quote unquote, trying to find a job. But I talk to so many of my colleagues or coaching clients who are like, you know what, it's so hard to get your foot in the door. You know, 10, 15 years ago, you used to be able to walk into an HR department, hand over an application, and get a chance to go face to face, even just for a moment, and try to get an interview. And nowadays, there's such this barrage of technology you're trying to fight your way through. You know, is there, how does an individual, and is there even a way nowadays to get yourself quote unquote, with a foot in the door, or is the technology the only way that you get yourself in line for an interview?
Sure, sure. So good question. So, you know, a couple things. So a lot of companies have these applicant tracking systems, and that's really where they need to kind of manage their overall talent, generally speaking. But as a candidate, you know, at the end of the day, you're probably going to need to go online and actually apply to that position online through, you know, whether that's directly to the website or through some other, you know, source, a posting, et cetera. But to be able to really make the connection, and that's, again, not to keep bringing up LinkedIn, but that's really where I see the value of that mm-hmm. professional networking tool, because you have the ability there to go in and do some keyword searches, even as a candidate, where you can use the advanced feature, type in the company name, see who maybe your connections are. You can send them a connection to LinkedIn with you, and then once you're linked in, then you can send them an email of a larger size, because initially you can only send about 150 characters before mm-hmm. you're actually linked in with them. So once you're linked in with them, then you can ask them, hey, would you mind meeting me for a cup of coffee? I want to learn more about your organization.
Gotcha.
You know, so just, you know, kind of using it as an informational piece. And so much of hiring, when you can have an employee referral or someone that's referred into the organization, you know, managers and HR professionals definitely tend to look at those types of candidates, you know, much stronger than, you know, the candidate that has just applied in, where we don't have any other information on them. But when they come referred in, when someone says, hey, I met this person, they seemed really, you know, great communication skills, they were really able to represent themselves well, it always gives them the edge.
So we talk a lot here on our show about the idea of referral-based businesses. So it still comes down to the referral, even when it comes to recruitment, then it sounds like you're saying.
Absolutely. I think it absolutely, it helps so much more to be able to use your network. And absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times where, you know, I've received an email that was forwarded of someone that had worked with someone else at a you know, position in the past that said, hey, I don't really know much about this person, but, you know, my friend has worked with them in the past and, you know, they say great things about, you know, him or her. And that person almost always gets a harder look, frankly, than, you know, the average person that is just generally applying to a position.
Gotcha. So how about significant changes over the years that you've seen in the key qualifications that companies are looking for in their candidates?
Sure. I think, you know, generally speaking, companies really seem to try to be doing so much more with less. And so finding experienced candidates usually within the industry, you know, is definitely something that, you know, I have just have continued to see. I feel like, again, generally speaking, you know, looking at folks and being a little bit more open to candidates that are out of industry or maybe very early in their careers, you know, I don't see as many of those types of positions, but that also could be a reflection of the type of work that I tend to focus on. But, you know, usually you're looking for folks that are experienced within the industry, communication capabilities, that ability to really tell your story and the impact that you've had on the business really comes into play. I think fit to environment as far as, you know, is that person, again, you know, as an example, I work with a client where their overall culture is extremely results oriented. They have very aggressive timelines. You know, even a communication style, you need to be able to get to the point quickly and address that question directly. And so, you know, and kind of going through the screening process, when you're talking to a candidate and they tend to go off on a tangent and they seem like a very nice individual, but, you know, you can kind of quickly tell that maybe they're not going to be the best fit for this particular environment. So that environment piece is big. And, of course, just overall attitude and aptitude, I think, are always, you know, always key in any position. But it's really coming down to, you know, experience, that ability to effectively communicate, and then overall fit to the environment are some of the key pieces that, you know, are key qualifiers into whatever position that you're talking about.
So that is so interesting, because one of the questions that came to mind as we were talking was, you know, when you're looking at a hire, is it about their character or their confidence, or as you put, attitude or aptitude? You know, are they trainable and I can teach them some of the additional skills, but do they have the ability to understand what it takes to be professional in this environment? You know, sometimes they can be the smartest person in the world and great at the skill piece, but if they don't understand what it takes to, you know, operate in this environment, then it doesn't matter how books, you understand what I'm saying? I've seen people that have hired and, you know, they've got all the degrees and they understand the science of what we need in this environment, but I can't get them to understand the character piece of what it takes to operate in our world or our department. What do you think some of the biggest problems that when you come in and a client has hired on their own and they haven't hired well, what are some of the things they've done, you know, most wrong, I suppose?
Sure. I think one of the things that I probably have seen the most, just generally speaking, when we talk about recruiting is when the interviewers are doing all the talking and not doing more listening. I'm really a big believer in, it really is a two-way street. It's, of course, you want to make sure that you have time during that interview to answer questions that a candidate has and, that you're giving them that opportunity because it's, it's an important decision for them as well. Like I said, it really is a two-way street. But I definitely, have heard from candidates, have seen it myself where, you go into an interview, maybe it's not very structured. There's a few questions about, tell me about your background. And then that interviewer spends the rest of the time doing all the talking. So you're really not getting the information that you need out of that candidate about what their key accomplishments are. You're not giving them any situational questions to see how they would work through something and how they process information. And so I think that's honestly one of the biggest things is not being an effective interviewer and really thinking ahead of time about what you want to cover during that interview. What are the qualifications that you need and how do you ask those questions to get to that? And then shut up and listen.
Wow, that's a brilliant. I mean, it seems so common sense, but it makes so much sense because I have seen that myself, even just from a small business standpoint, even just solo entrepreneurs who are hiring one person, even.
Sure.
It's amazing to me. Yeah. Also, do you find that there are situations sometimes where a company is hiring and they don't have a clear idea as to what position it's they're hiring for?
Yeah, that's definitely another, we talk about, challenge from my perspective or frustration that I tend to sometimes can have in my job. And that is definitely one of them is, when you start to work with a manager and, part of my overall process is that I go into a pretty deep dive in the very beginning to truly understand, I've got the position job description, but, words are one thing. I really want to be able to hear from that manager to make sure they have an understanding of, the next 3 to 5 accomplishments that they want to see, what's the business impact that this person's going to have. And so really trying to understand what is this person really going to be doing in the next 3 months, 6 months, year, have they really thought through that? And what does that look like? And so certainly, running into those managers that maybe have not had that clearly defined, and so you start going down a path of starting to introduce candidates and then only to find out that, I think I like a little bit about this candidate because of these reasons, but I don't like that. And then, you kind of have to get to a point where you have to recalibrate at some point and just say, all right, time out. Like, we really need to define what it is that you need here. That, again, you got to set up both parties for success too, right? I mean, the candidate really needs to have a clear understanding of what the role is and, what they need to be doing in that too, and if that's something that they want to do.
Yeah. I, there's nothing worse than they're panicked, they're overworked, they're overloaded, and I just quote-unquote need help. Well, that's not a job position.
Exactly. And yeah. I always look at, again, it's an opportunity where if you do have, for instance, someone that leaves, do you necessarily need that same skill set? Because it's a great opportunity to take a step back and really think about, what are not only the short-term but the longer-term needs of the organization, and do you want to hire someone in at that same kind of skill level that you had, or, do you maybe need something a little bit different in that role? And so I think, anytime you've got an opportunity to hire, it's so important from a planning perspective to just take that time to really think through what that looks like, maybe engage with some of your colleagues and certainly your management of what those upcoming projects are and what else they would like to see so that you can really, clearly define what that looks like.
Yeah, excellent. Great. So, here on our radio show, obviously being sponsored by Connected Women of Influence, we're a women's organization and we're all about trying to identify and see how we can raise the skill set and empower women. And some of what we talk about is, how are we different as females professionals versus male? And being that you've had the opportunity to hire and recruit both men and women, I'm curious as to what are some of the differences that you've observed or maybe some lessons, habits, actions that women can learn from to do different in order to be better at what we do in the workplace when it comes to maybe interviewing or even as we hire and recruit for our companies and when we're in executive positions or if we're a candidate when it comes to that process. Do we do things different? And if we do, or are there things that we could do to improve our skills when in that process, whether it be being hired or hiring?
Sure. So all good questions. I think, you know, and again, generally speaking, right, there's always outliers on for everything. You know,
course,
we're all each individuals, but I would say generally speaking.
And you and I spoke, we're not man bashers. We love our men.
No.
I just want to make sure everybody knows that that's listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, but I would say generally speaking, men tend to be a little bit more adept at speaking to their accomplishments and results. During the interview process, they tend to come across, again, generally speaking, as a little bit more confident in their capabilities. I find that for when it comes to the overall offer process, men tend to negotiate more. So those are, you know, some of the things that I kind of see with men, generally speaking. I think women, again, generally speaking, I tend to hear a little bit more about speaking about their relationships, you know, talking more about the teamwork that they've done, the working together, the mentoring of others. So it tends to be a little bit more people focused. So not not necessarily negative or positive, just a little bit of a difference that I've seen as far as, you know, how those two, you know, those men and women kind of react to different questions and how they promote themselves. I think generally speaking, when we talk about management and how a hiring manager is viewing, I think women, and again, tend to be a little bit more perceptive when it comes to things about fit to the organization and that culture and how they're going to fit with the team versus, again, men tend to be, the men hiring managers that I work with tend to be, again, a little bit more focused on, yep, this person's going to get the results and this is what I focus on versus, yeah, but are they going to get the results, but they're going to be leaving dead bodies in the path, or are they going to get the results as well as playing nicely with others? And so I think women hiring managers tend to be a little bit more perceptive on, you know, again, that not only getting the job done, but how you go about getting the job done.
Gotcha.
I would say kind of lessons. I think women, you know, negotiate more. I think the worst thing that a company can come back to say is, you know what, no, we stand behind our offer and we feel solid about it. And I know when, you know, as a hiring professional, that puts more work on me, but that's kind of part of the fun, I think, is going through a negotiation process with someone and making sure that all parties are satisfied there. But I think, you know, women can, you know, don't be shy about asking for more if you feel like you deserve it or, you know, bringing those things up. I think
amen. Women, are you listening in, girls? Ask for it. It's okay. Never hurts to ask.
It doesn't hurt. I know it feels a little uncomfortable at first, but I think it really does not hurt to ask. I think you know the other piece is really just taking that time to understand up front what the expectations of the role is, and so then being able to speak to that. And this is something that, you know, when I'm doing counseling with candidates, I do quite a bit is, you know, try and ask as much up front as possible of, tell me a little bit more about your expectations, what that role is, so that in the back of your mind, you can be thinking about, okay, they're really looking for X, Y, and Z, and I've worked on this project that demonstrates these particular capability, so I want to make sure that I'm bringing that up through my conversations today. And then it's really about knowing your story. So it's very common to use what's called the STAR technique when it comes to interviewing, where you know you're asking about what's the situation or task, what's the action, and what's the result. So really, what's your story there? So I think, you know, thinking about what are some examples of your successes, and also maybe some of the negative experiences that you had but ended up with positive outcomes, and being able to really tell that story of the impact that you've had, that, you know, I think is some of the key pieces. And just practice. You know, I think it sounds silly, but, you know, I know even myself, historically, when I would go in for interviews, I would kind of do practice runs with, you know, my husband, a friend, what have you, just to make sure that I was feeling comfortable in answering those kinds of questions as well.
Yes. So, Melissa, that was a great piece, and I know people are frantically writing down. You're giving us so much. Can you repeat? STAR stood for, tell us again.
No, STAR stands for situation or task, action, and result. So it's really, again, kind of.
Action and result. Excellent.
Yep. So it's kind of telling that story of what, you know, what happened there. You know, what was the action? What did you actually do? And what was the end result? You know, were there any learnings that came out of it?
So, awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. Great. So tell me, you mentioned the word mentor. During your career, have you been lucky enough to have any role models or mentors?
Yeah, you know, Deanna, I am very lucky in that I've had a lot of, especially female role models. You know, being in human resources, it tends to be a little bit more women versus male, generally speaking. And so, you know, first of all, just taking a step back, and honestly, my mother has been just a great role model for me. I mean, she's incredibly...
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, she's very smart. She's very driven. She is not shy about communicating what she thinks. she's got a very strong work ethic. You know, she's just a very, very strong woman. So she's really taught me from a young age the value of work and again, kind of how to ask things and put yourself out there and kind of, you know, be aggressive about certain areas. And so she, I think, has been a great role model. And I've really, and my dad as well. I mean, he has been a fantastic role model from just an overall, you know, building relationships and really working through things and being that mediator and again, extremely strong work ethic there. So I really, you know, kudos to my parents. They've just been, I'm very fortunate from that perspective. And then, I think also, you know, I did have a past manager that I've worked under her leadership at two different companies, and I'm still keep in contact today. And I found that, you know, she's not only very knowledgeable, she's a VP of HR, not only very knowledgeable from an overall human resources perspective and really gave me a lot of opportunity to kind of grow even beyond recruiting into more kind of traditional HR business partner roles, which was interesting and kind of a stretch for me at the time. But you know, she was always looking at how can we add value, how can we take things to the next level. But I also really appreciated her approach. I mean, she looked at you as a holistic person. It wasn't always about did you get it done, what did you get accomplished, but it was also about, hey, how are you doing? You know, is everything going okay outside of work right now? And so I really appreciated that, you know, she valued relationships. And you know, she had three questions that I kind of stole and I had up for a long time that I would always kind of ask myself as I was going through having conversations with people. And she would say, you know, I always ask myself these three questions. Is it kind? Is it true? And is it necessary? And I just thought, you know, so simple, but just so powerful. So, and so, you know,
let me repeat. I have to repeat those. That's great. Is it kind? Is it true? And is it necessary?
Sure. So, you know, whatever conversation I'm going to have, if I need to have a conflict conversation, if I need to have, you know, whatever that looks like, you know, I'm always kind of in the back of my mind, I've kind of stolen that from her of, is it kind? Mm. Is it true? And is it necessary? Do I really need to share this information? Do I need to say that? Is it true? You know, and is it kind? And so she's just been, you know, fantastic.
How
mentor.
Powerful. So yeah. Powerful. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I will tell you, I mean, it is remarkable to me that I've always been so lucky myself too, to have role models and mentors. And I will tell you just the way in which I feel it's kind of the legacy piece in life where they've touched us and we get to touch other people. And that's just amazing to me. It's just we're blessed by those kind of things.
True.
So I always love to kind of throw this out to my guests. And I would love to hear you kind of complete these sentences for me. Before going into an interview, it is critical to...
I would say two things. Research the company. You really need to do your research on the company ahead of time. And there's really, frankly, no excuse for not doing it. There's so much information out there to take advantage of. I think the other piece is have questions to ask interviewers. You know, it's a two-way street. And so even if it's something as simple as, you know, how long have you been here and what keeps you here? What do you think are the most important experiences or qualities that the person coming into this role should have? You know, maybe what do you anticipate are some of the challenges that this role is going to be faced with? You know, how would you describe
that's a great one.
Yeah, you know, how would you describe the corporate culture here? And if you could change one thing about the culture, what would it be? So, you know, you want to understand not only the positives of what you're walking into, but you really want to understand the challenges and maybe the not so wonderful things too, so that you have a full picture of it.
God. Okay. Great. Great. I hope everybody's taking notes. Those are great questions. You know, the greatest form of flattery, just write it down. People use it. and how about this one? The best part about the recruitment process is?
For me, it's kind of closing the deal. It's having that candidate.
There you go, baby.
Right? It's having that candidate that you know is going to be just a great fit for the organization.
Yeah.
And, you know, and having them accept an offer. And when you know that, boy, this person's going to be a game changer for this organization, they're really going to have an impact. And you feel in your heart and you know, that it's going to be a great fit for both parties. That to me is the most rewarding thing. I mean, I feel like I'm, you know, part of this as far as having that person make that change in their life. And that is an extremely just rewarding experience from my perspective.
Yeah, I agree. And that's wonderful to know you're closing the deal, but it's also, it's like, gosh, you know, you're fulfilling someone's, you're improving their quality of life and you're improving things for their family and you're improving an organization. It's just got to feel great. I can't even imagine. It's got to be great work to do. And Melissa, you are obviously wonderful at what you do. I know that through your company, you do both project-based work. You also do longer-term contracts. I'm sure that there will be people that are listening in that will have questions. There are very well going to be companies that may want to reach out and hire you, people that may need your services. Can you tell us, please, what is the best way for people to be able to reach you if they need to do so?
Oh, sure. So I think, I have to go back to LinkedIn, but I certainly have a LinkedIn profile there. So I'm under my name, Melissa Simonsen, and that's S-I-M-O-N-S-E-N, and you can find me there, and I'm always happy to connect with folks and, you know, offer any kind of advice or help wherever, whatever I can. And then my number is 858-335-6799, so that's always a good way to reach me as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Melissa, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you coming and joining us today. It is wonderful having you as a guest, and thank you for sharing so many wonderful tips on the world of recruitment and HR, and it's been great having you. We really appreciate it.
Oh, Deanna, thank you so much. It's truly my pleasure, really an honor to be invited, and thank you. I really appreciate you, your inviting
me. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And a special thanks to all of our listeners, as we will be back again next Monday morning for our Women Leading the Way radio show. I want you to all have a fabulous week, and please listen in again next month for Sassy Sales and Business Development. I'm your petite powerhouse, Deanna Potter, with Potter Coaching and Consulting. And thank you again. Happy holidays to everyone, and enjoy your week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.